The Lord knows what you need, and He always talks to me to try to give it to you and to try to help you. I made the statement today to my wife. I notice that some of the people that are affiliated with Little Bethlehem, they only come enough and stay with us enough just to be numbered with us. Like Judas. But they're really not with us. And they'll go out and they'll do the evil things of the world. Frolic around, get all doped up, all out of sauce. Lust and fight and fuss and feud and gamble and drink and do everything. Let all the world see them. And then they'll run to Little Bethlehem and say, I'm part of Little Bethlehem. Just enough to keep people looking at Little Bethlehem and to try to create spots and blemishes against God's house. But someday, their folly will be made manifest. Someday. God said, you think I'm altogether such a one as you are. I'll let you get by with it. I'll be merciful to you. You gossip, you backbite, you find fault, you resent, you talebearer, you tear down. Do all those things. Carry on your evil thinking. And He said, you think I'm like you are because I'll let you get by with it, showing you grace. But said, someday I'll meet you face to face. And you'll know then that you didn't get by with it, that I'm not like you are, that I'm different altogether from you. And that there is something that is waiting for you, and that's the judgments of God. I felt the spirit of the brother on the left then. He's still sitting on the left right now. And he knows that God's got his number. He knows it. And he would like to tear me to pieces. Got a temper anyway. Keeps suppressed. A real vicious temper. But the Lord knows who you are and what you're doing. You're not getting away with anything. He knows what you're thinking. He knows your thoughts toward Him and that your thoughts are the same toward me. The Bible said, if you receive Him that I sent, you receive me. If you receive not Him that I sent, you don't receive me. The Bible said, whatever you do unto Him, you do it to me. Whomsoever I send, if you receive Him, then you have received God. But if you have not received Him that God sent, you have not received God. All right, I'm going to read just a little bit, and I want you to listen real good. Every night we come here asking God to give us just exactly what you need. He knows the need of the hour. He knows exactly what's happening. He knows the occasion. And He always gives us just exactly what you need. So I want you to really think. I believe, let me say it like this. If you walked in the mind of the Lord, first of all, if you was in the Spirit of God, you wouldn't fulfill the lust of the flesh. You wouldn't do all those things. But if you were in the mind of the Lord and could see revelation, you would know what was happening right at this hour. And you would be afraid to do anything. You'd be so fascinated with the things that are taking place in the great Spirit of God that you wouldn't dare lay a finger to it. You'd be too afraid. But because you don't, the God of this world, Satan, the prince of this world, has blinded you. And you don't see. The Bible said, lest at any time you should see, your eyes come open and you should convert and God should heal you. But in that you don't, then that means you're going to continue to do your wrong. And you know, I don't say this to harm you. But there's no need to come to Brother Pike and say, Brother Pike, I've been doing this to you and I've been doing this to the church and I'm sorry, Brother Pike, and I wish I hadn't have done it, and then go right back out and do just as bad or worse. That ain't no good. That isn't going to keep the wrath of God on you or off of you. As a matter of fact, it's going to make it come on you even worse. Because the fact that you confess means you see. And in that you see, it means you're guilty. And in that you're guilty, it means you must pay. So then whatever, the wrath of God is coming. No matter what you do, it's going to be that way. So the best thing to do is do what the Bible tells us. And you say, well, what does the Bible say? The Bible tells us to confess our sins and forsake our sins. Now, you do well to confess. The Catholics do that. Priests pray over them. But he said, forsake your sins. The biggest problem that I believe that I have at Bethlehem is that so many of you people do not have the Spirit of God. You do not have the Holy Ghost. You are believers, but you do not have the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Being a believer is one thing, but having the infilling of the Holy Spirit is another thing altogether. And you don't have the infilling of the Spirit. That's why you're so carnal-minded. You don't walk in the Spirit. You're just a believer. But you can't get over the desires of your human infatuations. The world pulls at you. The flesh pulls at you. And you find pleasure in the things of the world because you don't have God's Spirit. And that's very bad. You need God's Spirit. The reason so many of you say, I don't understand. And you'll say, I ain't getting nothing from God. The reason for that is you don't have the Holy Ghost. You cannot have the Holy Ghost and then truthfully say that I'm not getting anything from God. You can't do that. A man that's got the Holy Ghost always gets something from God. Every day. The Bible said the Holy Ghost will guide you into all truth and righteousness. That's his job, is to see that you get something continually. He's a comforter. He not only comforts you, but he feeds you every day the wonderful revelations of the Lord Jesus. This is why so few people will go in the rapture. Not because that there's not very many believers. There's hundreds and thousands of believers in Bethlehem, in the Pentecostal churches, in the Baptist churches, in the Methodist churches, the different kind of churches, the Catholic churches. There's believers in the Catholic church. Thousands of believers. But see, that is not what it is going to take to make the rapture. It's going to take the infilling of the Holy Ghost from God to make the rapture. If you don't have the infilling of the Holy Ghost, you will not make the rapture. Now you might say, Brother Pike, I think you're wrong. All right, then you've got your doctrine and I got mine. Now, I base mine on the Word of God. Now what do you base yours on? I find in the Word of God where he says that if you have not my Spirit, you're none of mine. And the Bible tells us but one Spirit. And what is that Spirit? The Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit. God. If you don't have him, you're none of God. You might be a believer. Yes, you might be a church member. But when the translation goes to take place, you won't make it. I say, well, now, Enoch was translated by faith, Brother Pike. I know that he was translated by faith. That is true. Enoch was translated by faith. But what translated Enoch? Was it faith that translated him? No. The Bible said it's not by power or might, but by my Spirit, saith God. It wasn't faith that translated Enoch. It was the Spirit of God that translated Enoch. Faith was the medium by which God works. Like the Bible said, God purifies our heart by faith. That is the medium through which he works, but it is God's Spirit. If you have not God's Spirit, you're none of his. That's why so many hundreds and thousands of people that follow great crusades and different things across the world will be deceived. It's because they have led them to believe that faith is the answer. But faith isn't the answer. God's Spirit is the answer. Faith is the medium by which we get in touch with God. But even at that, to get God's Spirit, it has to be Christ as faith. Your faith cannot reach God's Spirit. It takes Christ as faith to reach God's Spirit. I'm not justified by my faith. My faith has nothing to do with it. I'm justified because of his faith. The Bible said, the faith by which you are sanctified. I am justified by his faith. Therefore, being justified by faith, his faith. Because he believed God. Because he overcame. Because he was righteous in the sight of God. because he became heir to all things. Then I am strong in him. I am complete in him. I am saved by his blood. It is not I that liveth, but he that liveth. And the life I now live, I live by the Son of God. It's not me that speaketh, but him that speaketh. So then it is his faith. I must be one with him. I call upon his name, and through his name, his lovely spirit comes into my life. I become a believer. I hear the word of God. I become a believer. As I become a believer, then from that comes the Holy Spirit into my heart. And through that wonderful Spirit, my heart is purified, cleansed. The Bible tells us to be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. It doesn't say that if you walk in the faith, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It says if you walk in the Spirit, be filled with the Spirit. Be spiritual. Paul said, I'd like to speak unto you as unto spirituals. The answer is God's Spirit. There's only one eternal life, and that's God's Spirit. One eternal life, not faith, not experiences, not coming to church, not fasting, not praying, not something that might happen. There's one eternal life, that is God, the Holy Spirit. And unless my spirit becomes one with his spirit, and unless my body becomes one with his body, and bone of his bone, and flesh of his flesh, unless I completely transformate into him, I do not have eternal life. It is he that is eternal. And if I become him and not me, then I am eternal. If I remain me and not him, I am not eternal. So then I must become him to be eternal. And you know, the only way to do that is to remember that the Holy Scriptures is a divine outline. It is a given description of what God is, who God is, how he functions, and all about him, his attributes. It is a divine description of the Holy Spirit. And when we set our hearts and minds to that, then that's what God calls faith. Faith is not trying to believe that God will move a mountain over here or move a tree. That isn't faith. Faith isn't something where you try to believe God's going to heal you. Faith is believing what God said. Faith cometh by the hearing of the word. Faith is believing in what God said. When it says that Enoch was translated by faith, it means that Enoch believed what God said. Everything God said, Enoch believed. And he kept believing it, till he changed into a oneness with God. Abraham, all of those people were saved that way. Noah believed what God said. And by faith, Noah was saved and saved his household. He believed what God said. The words God spoke, he believed those words. And he obeyed those words as a proof of his faith. And from that, he was saved in his whole household. Now look at Eve. Just exactly different. She didn't believe what God said. And look what happened to them. All right. I want to read two or three little passages of Scripture and then talk some more. First of all, in the 10th chapter of the book of Romans, the first verse, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. We find in the 14th verse, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. In the 13th chapter, the first verse, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Will thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. In the 14th chapter, the first verse, him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not the doubtful disputation. For one believes that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him that which eateth not judge him that eateth. For God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Now, reading in the 15th chapter, the first verse, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scripture might have hope. I want you to notice this now. As I say, we never pick anything. We never mark anything. We do what the Lord leads us to do. Read to you what we feel he would have us to read to you, what he gives us, that it might be for your edification and the understanding. If you will notice the scriptures that God gives us, then by that you can tell the hour that you're living in and the moving of the Spirit. You can tell whether God's pleased or whether God's upset or whether there's something out of order or something that's not right. Because the first thing that he will do is try to warn you and try to help you and try to reach you and try to get you to be reconciled and try to make you understand. That's the first thing. And then after the warning, then comes the heartache. Now, I want to remind you again. It says how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Now, it tells us that the preacher is so prized in the sight of God that God even considers his feet beautiful. The world doesn't even notice him. The world considers him a nobody. And the world considers him nothing. But to God, he is so precious in the sight of God, in that he is God's mouthpiece in the earth, that God even esteems his feet as being beautiful. And Jesus proved that because God himself came down in a robe of humanity, girded himself, and got down and washed the preacher's feet. Isn't that right? He washed them. So then we see that God thinks a lot of the minister. This is why that we should be careful. Why does he think a lot of the minister? It's because it says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? In other words, God said, first of all, how can you believe in God when you've never heard about God? How can you believe in him of whom you've never heard? And how are you going to hear about him of whom you know nothing unless God sends a preacher to tell you about him? Now somebody would say, well, anybody could tell me about him. That's impossible. Anybody cannot tell you about God. See, because just anybody doesn't understand God. The Bible said, how shall they preach except they be sent? If anybody can tell you about God, then why does the Bible use the terms, how shall they preach except they be sent? Now, if anybody can just preach, any woman can preach, any man can preach, anybody can decide to be a preacher, anybody can go into the ministry, why does the Bible use the terms, how shall they preach except they be sent? The word apostle means one sent. How is it that they can preach lest they be sent? All right, so then they have come to tell us about God. And because they've come to tell us about God, they are God's mouthpiece in the earth. And that makes God happy. Because the one thing that God wants is that the preachers or someone should come and tell his people about the wonderful glory of God and the blessings of God and what God would like to do for them. So then he is a beautiful thing in the sight of God. Even to his feet are beautiful. How much more his words being the words of God. All right, now, if this is so that even his feet are beautiful in the sight of God, this is why the Lord speaks of him like he does. He is an important figure in the earth. All right, then, what does God have to say about him? The 13th chapter, let every soul be subject unto the high powers. Are you listening? Somebody will say, well, Brother Pike, he's talking about the sheriff. He's talking about the president. He's talking about different ones. But it says his feet are beautiful. Let every soul, the Baptist, the Methodist, the Presbyterian, the president, the king, the barber, the dentist, the doctor, the lawyer, every soul, the general, every soul, let them be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The power that be are ordained of God. Why should we be subject to the powers? Because they are a divine ordination of God. Why should I be subject to the powers? They are ordained of God. Shouldn't I be subject to something that God has ordained? Am I someone special? You know, this is where we make a mistake right here. We look and we know that other people have not prevailed against the gospel. Anywhere in the pages of history, from the beginning of time, search back for yourselves and see. Look back and see if any man ever prevailed against the ministry. Any woman ever prevailed against the ministry. You know, there have been a lot of wicked women that have rose up against the ministry, like Bloody Mary. But look back and see if any one of them ever prevailed against the ministry. I believe it was John Knox that made the statement that the great anvil has worn out many a hammer. Look back and see. I believe it was Bloody Mary that made the statement, said, I fear the prayers of John Knox more than I do the alien powers. She said, I don't fear to fight the armies of foreign powers or great forces that come against me with guns and whatever. She said, but I fear the prayers of John Knox. When he starts ringing the prayer bells of heaven and calling on God, she admitted that she literally shook and trembled. She said, I fear his prayers more than all of the alien powers. Why? Because the Bible said, let every power, every soul that is, be subject unto the powers of God. Why should I be subject to the powers of God? Because the Bible says, whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. Who would be such foolish person, such a foolish man or woman, that they would dare to resist the ordinances of God, something that God has set up? In the Old Testament, when a man transgressed God's ordinances, he was immediately killed. He was stoned. And see, that isn't the end of it. If it was just a matter of killing us, that would be one thing. But brethren, sisters, we wind up in the flames of hell to be punished throughout eternity without end. There is no reconciliation, no more starting over. It's not like going to the electric chair or going to prison and serving your time out. It's not like getting shot. It's not like somebody knocking your brains out. It's not like an automobile running over you. That's not it. This is for keeps. That's why that God speaks the way He does. Why do we resist these things? When we look around us, children of God, and we see so many heartaches, so many deaths, so many sorrows, why do we then be so foolish as to resist the ordinance of the living God? Somebody would say, well, I wouldn't dare resist the ordinance of God. When you resist the preacher, you've automatically resist the ordinance of God. That's what he's talking about, is to resist the ordination of God, is to resist the minister. To resist the minister is to resist the ordination of God. What is the ordinance? If I'm ordained to the ministry, that's God's ordinance. I didn't ordain myself. He ordained me. If he ordained me, then I am God. Just like if a person has eternal life. The Bible says, and these that were ordained unto eternal life. That is the ordinance of God. That was God's ordaining, not man's ordaining. That's what I say about little Bethlehem. This is God's ordinance out here. This isn't man's ordinance. I didn't come up through some denomination. The Baptists, the Methodists, the Presbyterians, the Pentecostal people, they didn't build this out here. I came here with nothing. I had nothing but a vision in my heart and faith toward God. I come here to do a work for God. I had nothing to do with all the things that's happened. I had nothing to do with the things that's happening right now at the present, whether it be good or bad. God has His way. God creates the evil. God creates the good. God works all things after the counsel of His own will. God lifts up one. God puts down another. You say, I should be up there where you're at. Why didn't God put you up here where I'm at? I didn't try to keep you from up here. God did it. I have nothing to do with it. If God wants me to sit down and you're up here, He'll put me out there and put you up here. And I can't do nothing about it. But if He wants you out there and me up here, you can't do nothing about it. I can't do anything. I have nothing to do with it. The writer said, before I was ever born into the world, God chose me to reveal Christ in my life. Judas, the Bible said, before he was ever born in the world, said, let another his bishopric take. Before he was ever born. Paul, in his writings, he points out Jacob. He points out Esau. And he said, these, Jacob and Esau, for as it is written, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. He said, while they've never been born, Paul said. Said the children never had done good nor evil. How could God say such a thing? Therefore, the Bible said that there are some that were before of old ordained unto this condemnation, brute beasts, made to be taken and burned. God did it. I had nothing to do with it. Didn't God make the leopard? Didn't God make the lion? Didn't God make the elephant? Didn't the Bible said God robbed the ostrich of wisdom? Who is likened to the ostrich, the writer said, that doesn't have any sense, any wisdom, that will lay his eggs and leave them out here for somebody to come along and just step on them and crush them? Who's like the foolish ostrich? Drive through one of these places where they protect the game's life. Watch the ostrich run out in the front of you, right in the front of the car, and stick his head down in the sand. Who's more foolish than the ostrich? The Bible said, who hath deprived him of his wisdom? It said, God has. God does what he wants to whenever he gets ready. Who made the big quail in the sea and the little goldfish in the pond? The whales swallow up a dozen of them at a time and not even know that they passed inside. How do you understand what I'm saying? God has his way in everything. We're just a little helpless people down here that can't do nothing but humble our hearts and ask God for mercy. We get the feeling so big. We go to college and we study 2 or 3 years and somebody pins a PhD on us. And we just feel like we're such a great, powerful superman that could just do anything. Or maybe somebody comes by and I try to make it sound like it is. And they give us a garbage can full of some of these things called dollars that they run off of the presses in Washington. And we feel like we're such a superman because our garbage cans are packed full. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Don't you see how foolish that is? God doesn't regard dollars, and God doesn't regard education. God doesn't regard the things of this world. God regards Christ in your life. If you don't have Christ, you don't have anything. You've got to have God's love. All right, let's look at it. Whosoever, therefore, whosoever, that means me. That means you. Now, don't be thinking in your mind about brother so-and-so, I told you so, because I'm talking about you. You're the one that I'm talking about. He said, whosoever, therefore, resisteth the power. You know, we get in trouble because we take it like this. Say, well, I know Brother Pike's talking to them because I'm a preacher. I'm talking to you, brother. I'm talking to you. God's got me up here talking to you. He's got you here and he's got me up here. And he gave me this because I didn't plan it. So he's talking to you. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. Now listen to it. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. That's pretty plain talk, isn't it? It didn't say that God would get upset with them and that God might give them a little spanking and God might chasten them a little bit and God might be a little bit disturbed and shake things up. The Bible said if you resist the minister of God, he is the ordination of God in the earth, and you will receive damnation to your soul. All right, somebody said, but Brother Pike, you're perverting it. It doesn't say the ministry. All right, let's see if it says the ministry. For rulers are not a terror to good works. Somebody will say, now there you are. He's talking about the rulers. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Will thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. Now then, what is he talking about? What is all this talk about? What is he leading up to? What is he trying to say? Somebody say, well, he's just old Baldy. That's all he is. Oh, now somebody said, Brother Pike, you don't believe nobody would say that about a preacher. They called Elisha Baldy. Say, but they wouldn't do that about a preacher. But I've heard them laugh. I've been present when I've heard them laugh and make a joke and call God old Baldy. Oh, somebody say, no, yes, sir. I've been right there when it happened and just have the biggest kind of laugh about it. Point up there like that and call him that name and say, speak of him watching and the things that was going on. You understand? Fools. A fool is known by the multitude of his words. You can tell whether or not he's a fool. See, for rulers are not a terror to good. Then what is a preacher? He is a ruler. How do you agree that he's a ruler? He's a ruler. That's why he's down here. He is a ruler. Oh, somebody would say, Brother Pike, you don't believe that. That's what the Bible says. It says, for he is the minister of God. What is he here for? He is for your good. He is here to do you good. He can pray the prayer of faith. He can help you. He can encourage you. He can tell you things that will lift you up and elevate you. But when you make a Jim Jones out of him, when he's God's minister, you're in trouble. Somebody say, I love Jesus. That's what some of you are doing. You better get your Jim Joneses straightened out. I'm telling you, in the name of the Lord, don't you speak evil of God's minister. If it's not God's minister, you've got nothing to worry about. But woe unto you when you pervert things and start causing problems. And that's what you're doing. Remember that. He is God's minister. He is for your good. What good? To pray the prayer of faith for your little baby when he's dying. To pray that God will help you. To keep the wrath of God off of you. You say, Brother Pike, a minister can't keep the wrath of God off of me. Yes, he can. Whatever he remits will be remitted. Whatever he retains will be retained. Whatever he binds on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever he looses on earth will be loosed in heaven. And the Bible teaches that when you come before the ministry, as you are tonight, that you are in the presence of the judgment. For judgment begins at the house of God. Let's just look at it and see if I'm exaggerating or if this is right. For he is the minister of God to thee. Not the minister of God just to run around in the earth. Let every soul be subject to the minister, because he is the minister of God to thee. Somebody say, well, to somebody else, not me, to thee. Somebody say, well, somebody else is my pastor. Like some of them trying to get Brother Gary and some of them, and I believe Gary loves God, but trying to pervert him and pull him off and get him into something, and some of the others, like they did Brother Zell Carnes and a few of the other brethren here, to try to rend them and tear them to pieces and cause me problems. Trying to pervert him. See, say, he's not my minister. I've got my ministry. It didn't say that. It said, let every soul be subject unto him. You don't have your own minister. God ordains the ministers. The Bible said they shall heap to themselves teachers because they have each ears. They want somebody to say something different from what God ordained to be said. They want to pout and puff and run off. Like the brother that's living over here, I believe it was yesterday, a day before yesterday, I wasn't looking to hear from God concerning that brother, other than I've been praying for him. And the Lord said to me, and I heard very clearly, something said to me, said, the man wants his own way. He said he's going to grow himself a beard. So that's one thing he wants to do. And I thought, well, isn't that something? And I believe it was the following evening, that very evening, somebody come to me and said, you know, brother so-and-so, he's growing himself a beard. I didn't know nothing about that. I didn't care nothing about it other than what God had to say about it. But God was concerned about it. God wanted to know. Now somebody said, that wasn't God. You just struck it lucky. The Spirit of truth is God. It said it and it was truth. It was God. That's what it was. It was God. Why was God concerned? Somebody said, well, I don't believe God's concerned about a little old beard. The Bible said every hair in our head's numbered. He's concerned about every hair in our head. I'm sure he's concerned about the ones on our face. Now, somebody say, well, now, Brother Pike, what does that mean? I don't know what that means, other than I just tell you what the Lord let me know. God knows you. God sees you. God understands you. God knows what your motives are, what your plans are, even before you ever do it. Even you that are righteous, that love God, that want to do right. The Bible said it shall come to pass that God will hear you before you're ever called. Before you ever pray, before you ever ask God, before you ever speak a word, God will hear you. Before you ever say a thing. Somebody said, now, Brother Pike, you don't think God hears me when I don't even speak. The Bible said you don't even know what you ought to pray for. But God, the Holy Spirit, maketh intercession on the inside for you with groans and moans that cannot be uttered. All right, now let's look at it a little farther. Will thou then not be afraid of the power? Are you afraid of the power tonight? Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I'm not afraid of a preacher. I'm not telling you to be afraid of a preacher, especially of this preacher. Because Paul said, we don't preach ourselves, we preach Christ. This is Christ, the Word. He said, preach the Word. I'm preaching Christ, the Word. If the Word points to the preacher, then that's for the preacher. If the word points to the wife, that's for the wife. If it points to the husband and the children, that's for them. This is the word. I'm preaching Christ, the word. But the Bible said, if a man say something and it come to pass, fear that prophet. Is that right? The woman at the well, and I don't say this in my behalf, but so that you'll have a fear of God, realizing that we are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, and that we are an ordination in the earth as a minister for your good. But when the woman at the well saw Jesus, she didn't say, come and hear a message. She said, come and see a man. Didn't she? She was talking about a man. Like Brother Branham said one time, you can't separate the message from the man, the messenger. Come and see a man. Listen to what he says. Will thou then not be afraid of the power? What power? Now look at that. Somebody said, well, what that means is, will you not be afraid of God's power? We certainly know that's true. But God is trying to tell us something. The Bible said there is no power that's ordained in the earth except it be of God. God is speaking of an individual as being a power. Somebody say, I love Jesus. I know you're mighty quiet tonight, and I ain't getting home to some of you, but I am some of you. The devil's done got home to some of you. That's right. Same thing happened to some of you by running into the beast that happened to Eve before her husband had a chance to have communion with her. But I'm talking about those that belong to God. Now, what is he talking about? Is he talking about the spiritual power of God, the Spirit of God? Yes, indeed. But is that where God stopped? He does not stop there. Why is it he does not stop there? Because he wants you to know that there is a man in the earth. Not just one man, but men in the earth. That God has ordained his powers in the earth. They're in the earth. Whether you want to accept it or not, whether you ever believe it or not, someday Paul said God will judge you according to my gospel. He'll judge you someday according to my gospel. The power. Will thou then not be afraid of the power? What is he talking about? Listen and let's see what he's talking about. Will thou then not be afraid of the power? And I say, now there's that Jim Jones thing. There's that God thing. Not Jim Jones. Jim Jones spit on this and took the people away from him. This is God's word, not Jim Jones. The Bible said, will thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. Praise of the same what? That the minister will praise you. Paul said, I praise you in a good thing. I praise you in a good thing. You will have praise of the same. The minister will magnify you, speak well of you, lift you up. Somebody says, well, I don't care whether anybody speaks well of me or not. You better be sure that you want the minister to speak well of you. You better be sure of that. You might not care about the merchants and the others, but brother, he better speak well of you, because the Bible said, Paul said, I must present you to God. I must do it. The shepherd presents the sheep. Will thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same, for he is the minister of God to thee for good. Now, is he talking about the minister? Is he talking about the minister? If he's not talking about the minister, some of you people that know so much ought to be bold enough to speak up in this service and say, preacher, you're lying. You're perverting the scripture. That's not what it says. And if you don't do it, you got a backbone like a jellyfish. Somebody say, I love Jesus. But if it's God's word, if it's really God's word, then you'd better fear God. You'd better quit your gossiping. You'd better quit your backbiting. Better quit your tail-bearing. You better quit all of this mess that's going on among the contractors and among the people and on the campground and everywhere. because God is going to get you. And I don't mean to scream at you. I just want to nail the plank on, Brother Branham said, where the wind won't pull the board off. Hardly ever I use these scriptures. Hardly ever I bring these scriptures about. But God gave it to me tonight. There must be something going on. There must be something. You are coming against Brother Pike. You are talking against Brother Pike. Out on the job, you are trying to pervert people by your dreams and your visions and your ways and your doings. And your gossip, you're trying to do it. And tear this work down. And tear me down. And tear the people down. And God is going to bring the wrath of God because He's tired of it. I told my wife today, I said, Betty, God has let sorrow or let problem after problem come here. He's let it prevail. He's let the mud, He's let everything come on little Bethlehem. And let me almost be crushed and the brethren be crushed. For His sake and to glorify His name and to hide it from the eyes of the wise and the prudent and let us struggle and do any way. I said, but now's the hour when He's taking the mud off. I said, He let those evil ones get by with it. But I said, He won't do it anymore. It's the hour of the glorifying, the hour of the cleaning up. You're not going to reproach it anymore. You're not going to reproach us anymore and get by with it. It's time for you to quit. Take my warning and quit. Get away from Bethlehem. Run for your life. Do something. Because the hour is here that God will put you in a grave if you don't quit. See, it's not the hour of the mud being slung. It's not the hour of the crucifixion. It's not the hour of the suppressing. It's the hour of the elevating and the magnifying and the glorifying. And in that, that means that you're in trouble. Now, for he is the minister of God. What is he here for? Now somebody said, Brother Pike, you have said a little sweeter and a little more love. Don't you know God is love no matter how he talks? Did you know that? If God says, depart from me, you generation of vipers, God is love. If God turns over the money tables and pops the whip, God is love. If God shakes the foundations of hell, God is love. God knows what He's doing. He said, lift up your voice like a trumpet and show my people of their transgressions in the house of Jacob, of their sins. They delight to know me and they act as though they haven't done anything wrong, he said. For he is the minister of God. Why do you stay on that, Brother Pike? Because that's what I want to get over. For there is ministers of God in the earth. I know there's a lot of rogues in the earth. I know there's a lot of people just going to and fro, stripping the congregation, tearing them down, just trying to tear them all to pieces, tear the people up. But brethren, there's also ministers of God in the earth. And the Bible said these are rulers. These are God's rulers over God's people. Now, somebody say, but the Bible said God didn't make you a ruler over his people. The Bible don't say that. It said he didn't make you Lord over God's heritage. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But now listen, it goes farther than that. And I want you to listen, because I feel sure tonight that somebody is being weighed in the balances tonight. Because I've been talking to God today, and I feel sure tonight that God is emphasizing this. Tonight, my voice is being raised. I'm driving this thing home tonight. God has got a reason. Somebody is crossing God, and God is tired of it. Now watch and see. You say, I don't believe it. Well, let's just wait and see. Just wait and see. There's something God's tired of. You've stirred up a mess and stirred up a mess, and you've been tail-bearing and stirred up a mess till you got on the wrong side of God. Now just wait and see. So now listen at me. Be wise and listen at me. I know you ain't going to do it. You ain't going to do it. You're going to go right back to the same slop hole you've always been in. Just as sure as there's the world, you're going to do it and taste the wrath of God. But it's still my job to warn you. And I say in the love of God and the fear of God, don't do it. Get straightened out once and for all. The Bible said, swear to your own hurt and change not. Don't be double-minded. Don't come here and look at Brother Pike and act loving to Brother Pike and do like Judas did and come up and kiss me and get out there on the job and your temper and your wrath and your questions and your don't understanding and your tail bearing and your gossip and fault finding. Just take me apart and take the people here apart. There at the table with your wife and children. Don't do that. Only a fool will do things like that. A man that does that's a fool. All right, listen. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. I'm a minister. If you don't believe I'm a minister, you don't need to be here. You're a foolish man to come and listen to me if you don't believe I'm an ordained minister of God. If you think I'm a Jim Jones, if you think I'm some kind of a cult, if you think I'm some kind of a fantasy, if you think I'm some kind of fly by night, what kind of foolish man are you and your family to come and listen to me? And brothers and sisters, if this thing be ordained of God, you certainly are a fool to interrupt it. No bigger fool could a man be than that to interrupt the things of God. Did you know it's like those boys that give us a lot of trouble, they're fixing to send off. They just broke into a church, one of the black churches down the road. And it's a federal offense to interrupt a service, did you know that? Or to damage God's property. Even in the natural law. If that's a type, just think what it would be like in the spiritual. The Bible said, if they that in the old Bible, they that are in the Old Testament, those that were under the law, the Bible said if God considered such great torment and punishment that he stoned them till their brains came out, that the earth opened up and swallowed them and they went down quickly into the pit. How much sore a punishment, how much greater punishment does God think them worthy that trample under feet the blood of Jesus Christ and his holy covenant and count those things that God has said to them an unholy thing? How much more will God get you for that? Listen, what makes you think, friend, that you're going to get away with it? If the others didn't get away with it, if the others have been broke up, tore up, knocked down, fell out, scrambled up, hurt, bruised, everything, what makes you think that you're going to get away with it? Will thou then not be afraid? Somebody said, Brother Pike, I believe you're trying to make us afraid. I sure am. I'm doing my very best, but you're not going to be afraid. Not you. A hypocrite ain't going to be afraid. A devil ain't going to be afraid to do what they want to do. But they'll shake and tremble when the fire gets behind them. You're not going to be afraid. That carnal mind of enmity with yours that eats and drinks and never fasts, never prays, never seeks God, never reads God's word, never gives God a chance to condition your heart. You're not going to be afraid. But the Bible said, will you not be afraid? Seeing that he is the minister of God. He's the minister of God, not the minister of the Baptist or the Pentecostal or the Catholic priest. He's God's minister. God's voice, God's power, God's authority in the earth. It's like Brother JT said the other day when he made the statement. He said, the last thing you ever want to do is get a minister upset. You know, a minister really don't get upset very often. But the last thing you want to do is get them upset. Now, Jesus got upset and turned over the tables and popped the whip. He was upset because they had disgraced his house, made it a place of money changers. But listen, friend, just a little bit more now. Will thou then not be afraid of the power? For he is the minister of God. He is to thee for good. How beautiful is his feet in the sight of God. How beautiful is his feet. For he brings glad tidings of great joy to you. How beautiful are his feet, Jesus said. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But that isn't all there is to it. That is all there is to it for those that will receive him. He that receiveth him receiveth me. He that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. But that isn't all there is to it. That's all there is to it for them that love God, for them that want to do right, them that want to fear God. That's all there is to it. Now you say, well, Brother Pike, I can't help if I have a vision. I can't help if I have a dream. You can help from being a hypocrite and perverting that dream of vision. You can tell it like it is, and that's what you're not doing. Tell it like it is. When you take a dream or vision and you pervert that thing to interrupt the things of God, you are a foolish man. For he is the minister of God to thee for good, but if thou do that which is evil, now this is where it comes in for him. If thou doest that which is evil, be afraid. Be afraid. Oh, you're not going to be afraid, but you're going to wish you had been afraid. Be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. What is the sword? God's word. Out of his mouth goeth a two-edged sword to devour his enemies. Be afraid, for he is God's minister. For he beareth not the sword in vain. What is his sword? It is the word of God. Amen. What do you mean, Jesus? All he has to do is speak a word and you're in trouble. The sword of his mouth turneth every way to keep the garden. A flaming sword. All he has to do is speak the word. The Bible said, agree with thine adversary quickly whilst thou art in the way, lest at any time he should deliver thee to the judge. And who is the judge? The ministers of God are the judges of God in the earth. I might say, God's the judge. The Bible said it's not him speaking, but God. Judgment begins at the house of God. That's why you usually have 12 elders, just like they do in a courtroom. That's why you have the setup. Check it out in your mind, the lawyers. Check it out. Satan on one side condemning and Jesus on one side pleading for you. It's God's courtroom. That's why the minister so often does that. Somebody said, I don't believe it. Couldn't be for me. But you're having trouble, ain't you? You're having trouble. You didn't think it was for you when I talked to you a while back, but you're having trouble. Have you noticed that? The Bible said, I'll trouble them that trouble you. You're having trouble. It could be for you too. Will thou then not be afraid of the power? For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God. Paul answers it. He raises it up again. Paul, what are you preaching like that for? You know why Paul preached like that? Because he had the same trouble I'm having. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Read the stories in life of Paul and see if it ain't identically the same thing that I run into. I was amazed when I really scrutinized the life of Paul. And I said, my God, I said, Lord, it's exactly the same way it is in my day. He said, he emphasized it. See, this is Paul speaking in defense of him own self, and yet not him own self, but the ministry. Shall I come to you with a rod? Shall I come to you in meekness? For he is the minister of God, Paul emphasizes over again, to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, he says again, a revenger to execute wrath upon them that doeth evil. Now, right there. Say, Brother Pike, do you mean to tell me that God has put men in this earth that can bring the wrath of God on us? I mean to tell you exactly that. We run around and we say, don't believe a man. Don't follow a man. Don't listen to a man. The woman said, come and see a man. You have to be subject to the ministry, children of God. You can't just run out here and say, I'm a Christian, and go this way and that way and do anything and everything. God has rulers in the earth. You must be subject to the ministry. If you're not subject to Brother Pike, you better find somebody you can be subject to. That's a real minister of God, because you're going to answer to God. You're going to do what somebody says do. And I said, well, I ain't going to do what nobody says. Yes, you will. It might be that little finite thinking of yours that's got in control because you've got a little schooling or you've got a little information somewhere, but you're going to follow somebody if it's you. Might be that little cunning mind of yours that you've been in business somewhere and got a few angles figured out, you know. But you're going to follow somebody. It might be somebody that comes in the camp that gets your mind all tore up and just completely washed out and gets you just this way. And after a while, like a covey of birds, you're gone, but you're going to follow somebody. It might be somebody that's had backslid, that's run off, that's got over way off over yonder somewhere, that's indoctrinated you when you got around them and put thoughts and questions in your mind, but you're going to follow somebody. Listen now, for he is the minister of God. What is he? Now listen, children of God, you're saved by faith in the Word. I'm reading you the Word. If you can't believe this, you can't be saved. Did you know that? You can't be saved unless you believe what God's Word said, because the Bible said these men wrote this as they were moved by the Holy Spirit of God. For he is the minister of God, a revenger. Somebody said, why do you get so upset? Because I'm a revenger. I'm sent as a revenger in the earth for God. That's why I get disturbed. God said I was a avenger. God sent me to avenge. He sent me to people that want to do good. To do good to them. To love them. To elevate them. To lift them up. But beloved friend, every night that I go to God in prayer, I lift you up one way or another to God. You can be sure of one thing, that you're not just out here by yourself. You are being lifted up to God one way or another every time I ring the prayer bells of heaven. In the wee hours of the morning when you're asleep, you're before God. You're before God. He is a revenger. That's what the ministry is. He's not just a little bald-headed nobody that lives over in the corner. Even though as far as I'm concerned, that's all I am. And I'm sure that any other God minister feels the same way. But to God, I'm speaking of what God thinks about it. He's not a little Mr. Nobody that lives off in the corner that you can talk about, pervert, and say things against, and rise up against and cause division and cause a mess and be tail-bearing all the time and take him and pick him apart like a bunch of buzzards. You can't do God that way. He is a revenger. If you are eating good, if you've got good food to eat, your children are right, your wife is all right, you're all right. Be thankful to God and keep your mouth shut. Pray and seek God. For he is a revenger. He can go one way or another way. He's like a woman that walked into a store. And she said something to Brother William Branham. He was a minister of the gospel. And she walked in, and she made a remark to him, and it hurt him. And he turned around and spoke to her in the name of the Lord. She turned around to go out and drop dead. And on another occasion, he was in a place, and that was a garage, and he spoke to the man, and the man hurt him and cut him. And it wasn't but just a little bit, and the car fell on him and crushed him. He is God's minister, God's revenger. Like Elisha, when he turned to those children and two she-bears come out of the woods, 42 of them was towing. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon them that do evil. God sent him to bring the wrath of God upon the wicked. It is his job, though he might be patient, though he might be tender, though he might work with you, he might love you. You might spit on him and mock him and do all kind of things. But he has the power to bring the wrath of God on you. That's his purpose in the earth. He's not just down there just to preach to you and tell you about God. He is God's power ordained in the earth. The judge up here has the power to put you in prison. That's why there's so many people tonight that are having heartaches and troubles. And I know I'm being a little lengthy tonight, but I feel this is needful because I feel something's coming. So you better listen. Listen to me real good. You're troubling God. And there's outsiders that troubles God. There's others out there that's meddling with the church that need to keep their mouth shut. As I live before God, the wrath of God's going to come on them. You watch and see. You say, Brother Pike, you want it? Do I want it? 7 years I've worked and toiled and begged and pleaded and stayed up all night praying for you and yours. Do I want it? I want to see you happy. He is the minister of God to you for good. But when you ain't going to do no other way and you ain't going to listen to nobody else and you're just going to be what you want to be, there's nothing else left for you. There ain't nothing else left for you. What is it? Why are you in the earth, Brother Pike? Why are others in the earth? How could Noah, a little old nobody, why he wasn't no authority? He wasn't a president. He wasn't anything. How could he stand up and say, I condemn the entire world? And God destroyed it. How was it that Abraham, the man of God, could stand up and condemn Sodom and Gomorrah and God burn it? Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's why things have happened to the ministry and the different people that we've met in places that God's closed up, lock, stock, and barrel, and people that are dead and in a grave. That's why men have been turned over to reprobate minds and go and tell somebody that God told them to open a dance hall. Not having a love for the truth. Because they won't listen, Jim. You understand what I'm saying, folks? It's a serious thing, a fearful thing, the Bible said, to fall into the hands of a living God. I hope if I never get another message over to you, that tonight, that this will get over to you. He is the minister of God. You watch the papers. If the papers are a little bit critical, yet they give us a good write-up, God will let them go. Now watch and see. But if they blast little Bethlehem as I live and breathe before God, God will hit that paper just like a tornado. If I'm a liar, you'll see it come to pass. But if God's spoken, you'll see it come to pass. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath. What is he there for? To bring the wrath of God upon the evildoers. Wherefore, listen, children of God, wherefore you must needs be subject. I'm not requesting God said that you be subject to my ministry. You must be subject, he says. Peter said, repent or perish. You must needs be subject. Not only for the wrath of God. Said you don't need to be subject just to keep the wrath of God on you. Said you've got to be subject just to keep the wrath of God off of you, that is. Not on you, but off of you. He said, but not just for that reason, but for your conscience sake. You need to be subject to the high powers and listen so you can have a clear conscience. You can't have a clear conscience if Brother Pike, if he's a true minister of God and he is not favorable toward you. You can't have a clear conscience. And brother, if you can't have a clear conscience, you'll die and go to hell because you're saved by faith. And God purifies your heart by faith. And if that minister don't favor you, and he's a true minister of God, you're in trouble. Not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. Now he said, for this cause. Pay your tribute also, for they are God's ministers. He repeats it again, they're God's ministers. Attending continually upon this very thing. He said it's their job just to do this very thing, to bring wrath to the evil and good to the just and to preach the gospel. How beautiful are their feet. He said this is their job. Render unto them all that they need. Everything that they need, he said, to carry this out. Render therefore to all their dues. Tribute to whom tribute is due. Custom to whom custom. Fear to whom fear. Honor to whom honor. Now, I'm not asking you to render anything unto me, whether it be tribute, whether it be honor, whether it be anything, because I'm not interested in that. If you despise me, that couldn't bother me as far as my standing with God. If you commit suicide, that couldn't bother me as far as my standing with God. If you gossip from the time you come here to the time you go, or from the time you leave to the time you get back, that can't bother me. If you talk to daddy, mama, grandpa, grandma, whatever. If you and your wife fights like a couple of cats and dogs, it has nothing to do with me. But I love you, friend, and I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help you to see that because I don't require of you, because I don't ask, because I don't take your personal offering, because I do go by faith, that doesn't mean that you are free just because Brother Pike don't require it. God still requires it. Your husband to you, wife, he might let you frolic all over the country. He might let you commit adultery with every party that comes along. He might not care, but God still cares, and you're going to answer to God for it. You follow me? All right, I'm concerned about you, and I'm saying this in closing tonight. This is the serious hour. This is the serious thing. We're trying to reach the world for God. Hating the garments that are spotted with sin, I'm trying to pull them out of the fire. I have the power to pull them out of the fire. If you convert a man, you saved a soul from hell. I have the power to convert a man and save a soul from hell. Friend, don't interfere. Don't sit in the seat of the scornful. Don't be foolish. Don't be always passing your opinion. Don't let the devil cause you to fret because of the evil. The Bible said, fret not yourself because of evil. I'm going to close. I tell you, I am. Just be patient a minute or two. I'm going to close. I held you a little long. I feel that God wanted me to. It isn't that cold or that bad. You're just sitting still, makes it a little chilly. I'm sweating. But here's the thing. I know that some of you are continually, and have since you've been with me, discussed me, talked about me, said things about me, and constantly raved and ravened on me and my family, on me and my spiritual children, on me and my labors at Little Bethlehem and abroad throughout the world, on me and my whatever I'm doing. But you've been a foolish people to do that. Whoever's guilty has been a foolish people. Thinking yourself to be a prophet or prophetess, or thinking yourself to be a special with God, or thinking yourself to be somebody that God will let you get by with that. How foolish you have done, folks. I ask you in the name of the Lord tonight to turn around. Get turned around. If Brother Pike is not a minister of God, and I've said this many times, if I'm not preaching the truth to you, if I'm not telling you the truth, if God didn't send me here, you don't have nothing to worry about. Don't let it worry you the second thought. But if God sent me here, and if God sent me to do a work, and if I'm a minister of God, you are in trouble. Because I'm here to execute judgment upon those that do evil, that's my job. So then, I ask you in the name of the Lord to consider us as the ministers of God, Paul said. To you for good, always for good, because I never left to remind you of the other side. I only remind you of the other side when I see you going astray and going in error, because I know what you're going to run into. Now we're going to leave tonight. We're going to close out. I'm fixing to close out now. And we're going to leave. But as sure as I'm breathing, somebody is in trouble tonight. From the beginning of this service, I've been grieved and I've been disturbed. And Brother James can bear witness as to whether I'm a liar or the truth. Brother Roger can bear witness that I stood today and told him how sweet and lovely Christ was to me. Is that right, brethren? How wonderfully interwoven he was. How lovely he was. How I felt his sweetness. And that I was interwoven with him in such a loving, sweet, mellow way that there's no words of expression. I came here that way tonight. I felt that evil thing working. And it interrupted that love of God and that sweetness, that greatness in God completely. Done an about face in the sense that he wanted me to say the things I've said tonight. Friend, don't be foolish. I know when you leave here tonight, somebody's in trouble. But don't be foolish. Don't get a repentive heart tonight and leave here and say, I'm going to get straightened out and go back to the same things that you've been doing. And I know that some of you are going to do it. That's why I say you're in trouble. Evil communication corrupt good manners, and you're not spending your time talking to the brethren, and you're not spending your time fellowshipping the brethren nor fellowshipping God, but fellowshipping them that's backslidden, them that's out in the world, and you've got your mind filled with garbage, and you're in trouble. Let's stand together. I hope the Lord will have mercy on you tonight. And I trust that every one of you tonight will remember that if you sincerely in your heart are trying to do good, if you're trying to do the love of God, and you stumble and you err, and you really mean to turn about and not to hinder, not to bother, not to interrupt, the Lord will be loving and kind to you as He's always been. But brother, sister, if you're determined that you're just going to repent because you got convicted because of the message and you got afraid, and then you go back out there and you're going to do the same things you always done, I bear you record in the name of the Lord that the judgment of God is upon you from this night on. Remember that. I feel Him here right now. I feel Him. I feel the anointing of God on me right now. I feel the Spirit of God running over me right now. He's here right now. Remember the words that I said to you. I beg of you, don't wait until it's too late. Don't do that. Don't wait until it's too late. Let's shake it out, folks. Let's get it off. Let's make the crossing. You that have never got over your old carnal mind, you're not over Jordan. You're still abiding in death. To be carnally minded is death. You're the enemy of God. Let's get on over it. Let's quit thinking those things. Let's quit doing those things. Let's quit saying those things. Let's quit getting angry and spewing all the time. Let's quit. Let's level off now. It's leveling off time. Sure as you're breathing, the hour has come. It's time to do or die. It's here. So then it's up to you, whatever you do. One thing about it, I'm here to tell you, not to put the fear of Brother Pike in your minds, but the fear of God. God is the Word. What the Word says, if you fear it according to the Word, that's all right. If you don't, that's your business. But I don't want you to be afraid of me. I'm a man. I'm a nobody. I'm a nothing, as far as I'm concerned. I'm a greater failure than anybody here tonight. But I am a minister of God. That I know. I am a minister of God. That I know. That is interwoven so deep that that can't be taken out. That's the calling and ordination for me. And I told you tonight, and I haven't spoke these things for my benefit, because like I said, I could leave here tonight, be happy, and me and my little wife could go on our way like we did for many years, love Jesus, and He'd be our friend, and we'd be His friend. Could go without any problem. I'd hate to leave. I'd hate to leave all of you here. But I could do it if that's what God said do. Whereas God's not the author of confusion, but of peace, I don't feel He's going to do that. But He could do that. He can do whatever He wants to. But I could if that's what He wanted. But the thing is, I feel that he would have me to stay here and work with you. But I do believe that there are some of you. I believe there's some of you that love me. I believe some of you is loyal. I believe that you'd be with me. You'd help me. You'd stand by me. Me and my wife. You've proven it. And I believe some of you would cut me to my back and stab me in my heart and tear me to pieces because you do it almost every day by the tick of the clock. You don't hardly ever stop. I got word today that two of them met right over here close by and said they really let me have it. They was really taking me apart. While that was going on out on the job, another one was letting me have it. And two more was letting me have it out on the job. And then out on the job in other places, who knows? And in the homes. You know, I was thinking about a man just before we dismiss, and let's relate this. He come through not too long ago. I talked to the man, preached to the man, tried to encourage the man. He was in good shape, had a nice home, everything fine. But he couldn't keep his mouth. Had plenty of money. And he come through Monroe just for a few days and made his smart remarks. And it wasn't but a little while, the spirit that he gave place to caused him to commit murder, and he wound up in prison. And I just got word today, and it may be his sons. I certainly hope not. He's got enough grief as it is. It could be my sons tomorrow night, your sons. I was talking to Brother Atlee about it. Our sons are out there. It could be ours, and it will be yours and mine if they don't do better. Anything can happen. But I got word that these two boys walked into a bar, no doubt showing off like some of them do, because I know what runs in the family. Going in there, showing off. And a motorcycle gang, according to what I understood of the story, come in and stab one of them to death, beat the other one up. Sorrow. See, we open our mouth. The Bible said, let your conversation be yea and nay, for what cometh more than this is evil. For in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin. You talk too much, folks. Bridle your tongue. If any man seem to be religious among you and bridleth not his tongue, this man's religion is in vain. He that backbiteth with the tongue shall not stand in the holy hill of God. Your words, by them you'll be condemned, by them you'll be justified. Get a hold of your words. It's growing late. Real late. He may call you at any minute. A heart attack, any time. He may call you any time. If not, it's for sure the judgment's coming. He may cut you off right here. And you won't have to wait for the judgment. All right. The Bible said chastisement is grievous for the moment. And I know that it grieves you. But afterwards, it yields the peaceful fruits of righteousness. You that are sincere and holy, you'll take this to heart and grow to be bigger trees and produce for God. You that are not, you'll shake it off after a day or two, and the fear and the worry and all that I've said will soon be in the background, whereas the Bible said, give the more honest heed to the things you heard, lest at any time said, let them slip. Seeing that the angels who are greater in power and might received a just recompense of reward for every transgression, how shall ye escape if you neglect so great salvation? But you'll shake it off. Take heed how that you hear. You'll shake it off. And then the wrath of God will come. And you'll not see good when it cometh. But you that love God, you'll grow deeper and greater, stronger, and be able to stand more. So don't be afraid. Let not your heart be troubled. Trust in God. Love Him. I am to you for good. All ministers are to you for good. Nothing can harm you because you're God's. And God looks at you as the apple of His eye. But you that do evil, you're in trouble. Let's meditate in His laws day and night. Now if this sounds a little strong to you tonight, just remember that strong medicine sometimes does the best job. Don't resent. Don't let your thoughts get away with you. You're going to answer for that thought, brother. Don't do that. You're going to answer for those thoughts, sisters.